We're thankful for the song service this morning, the effort that's went into that, the blessings that we have all received today from being able to sing in unison unto the Lord and also receiving a blessing from those specials today, to pray that God will bless as we spend time in His Word here this morning. As we said last Sunday, we need to be in prayer for everybody. No doubt each one stands in need in some form or fashion. There are many that are facing reduction in hours or jobs being lost. There are some, of course, around us, maybe not anyone in our body yet, but certainly there are those around us being affected by sicknesses and overall conditions and different things, restrictions and all that. And so we need to be in prayer that God would bless and work and watch over us, and certainly that He would give us the ability to continue on during this time. As I've thought all week about this time together, thought about many things that the Lord would, be pleased for us to get into, or maybe at least that I thought would be appropriate. So we've had many thoughts trying to get ready for this morning, many different things that are upon our heart and mind that we'd like to communicate. So you pray the Lord would help us to confine that to the message He's given us for this morning, and pray that He would be with us as we get into it here just now. Let's take our Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 11. Gospel of John, chapter number 11. We'd like to read a few verses from this most remarkable passage of Scripture. Comes as no surprise to you this morning, at least those of you that are used to listening to us preach all the time, that this is among our favorite passages of Scripture. John chapter 11, let's read verses 1 through 3. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Jump over to verse 17 with me. Then when Jesus came, that is to Bethany, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Let's ask the Lord to bless his word this morning. Lord, our gracious Heavenly Father, we bow before you once again, not just as merely individuals, Father, that happen to be in the same frame of mind or looking at the same thing, Father, at the same time, but Father, as the body of Christ that is been placed here in West Milton, we're thankful for this assembly, this gathering this morning. Though it be not like usual, we thank you for it, Father, and pray that you would bless as we take in your word, absorb it, Father. We pray that it would sink deep into our hearts, that you would speak to us through it, through the Spirit, that you would bless in a mighty way. Father, we pray that you would forgive us of our sins, that you would cleanse us from our unrighteousness and iniquity, that you would bless us, Father, through our gathering together this morning, that ultimately you would receive the honor and the glory through it in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as the lady's just saying concerning this passage, it brings to mind Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, drawing them in this most familiar set of circumstances to our attention. In my estimation, at least, John chapter 11 is one of the most powerful passages of Scripture in all of the Bible because it highlights for us in a very grand way the power, the sovereignty, the purpose, the plan, and the working of God. None could argue those facts as we read, as we study, and as we are moved upon by the words in John chapter 11. But there is something even greater here that is of importance to us this morning. And that is we see God caring through Jesus Christ. We see Jesus Christ caring about the daily lives, the events, the things happening to his people. What a wonderful thing it is today to know that we do not have a God that is distant and uncaring. We do not have a God that is afar off, but instead we have one that is nigh at hand. Yea, that is even among us this morning. One that is working in the fine details of our lives. As we talked about last Sunday morning, it shows us that we have a God that cares. Here we see that he loved, as we read there in verse number verse number five, that he loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. What a blessing to see. Of course, he loves them in the sense that they are his. They would trust in him and had for salvation. He would redeem them upon the cross in time to come. But even more so, he loved them and therefore cared concerning the things that was happening or was going on in their lives. What a blessing that is. We have a God that comes to us in our time of trouble. We learn through this passage of Scripture in our time of grief. Who shows up to speak to Mary and Martha? Who comes to bring to them the things they need? Of course, it says here, the Jews came to comfort them concerning their brother, their family, their friends, their acquaintances, their countrymen, they all came. It's important that we do so. But here we have Jesus Christ. Not uncaring, not distant, not saying get through it by yourself, but here we have Jesus Christ coming to Bethany. Here we have Jesus Christ seeking out Mary and Martha in their time of grief, in their time of pain. We find the same thing is true in our lives today, in our times of uncertainty and perplexity, in our times of bad news from the doctor or layoffs from work or difficulties in society. Whatever it may be, we see and find the same thing today. We need to be reminded of everything that this passage teaches us about our God, because he is right here among us this morning. He is present. He is abiding. He is working in every detail of our life that is swirling around us today. Now, we know this story very well. Mary and Martha's 4 days of grief, 4 days of turmoil, 4 days of believing they would never see their brother Lazarus again. Be reminded this morning of that difficulty. It was about 2 years ago that we spent many messages preaching from verse 25 of this passage about Christ being the resurrection and the life, and dwelled upon Mary and Martha as a result for a period of time. And during that time, we were able to get into the fine details of their life and of this passage of Scripture, which we certainly won't have time for this morning. But the difficulty that Mary and Martha faced here was very real. Oftentimes, as I say, we read the whole story and we forget that in the middle of the story, they're yet to see how things will work out. This was a very overwhelming and difficult time. They had, with their own eyes, seen their brother Lazarus die. They had, with their own arms, held their brother's lifeless body after he had passed. They had felt with their own hearts the difficulties of emotion that came swelling up within them about them not being with him or seeing them again. They had experienced this great difficulty and this great pain as it came upon them, sort of like a freight train coming down the tracks. They could do nothing to stop it. Though they had prayed, no doubt, to God, Lazarus still died. Though this is the last thing that Mary and Martha would have wanted for their brother, for themselves, or for anyone else, still their brother died. Though they sent word to Christ, we see Lazarus still died. Though they were loved by Christ, Lazarus, he still died. Though they believed in Christ, who he was, they believed in his power. They just knew that Christ could keep him from death. And yet Lazarus still died. Though they were faithful in their pursuits of Christ and of their faith, they still experienced the death of their brother. Though they trusted Christ, Lazarus still died. Though they knew who Christ was, the Messiah, the Redeemer, as she testifies in verse number 27, that he was the Christ, the Son of God, that should come into the world, Lazarus still died. Even though all these things are true, it did not keep them from experiencing these 4 days of great difficulty, grief, and pain. Though all these things were true, and though they had great faith, though they had belief, though they had trust, though they had all of these things, they couldn't slow down or stop that freight train coming down the tracks. The death of Lazarus came. They took him through the rituals of burial. They laid him in the tomb. And we see for 4 dark days, they grieved. They mourned in pain, believing that he, of course, died too young. All of those things that often are upon our minds. Though all these things were true, Lazarus still died and left them grieving. It left them trying to make sense out of their present difficult times and circumstances. Does that sound familiar to us today? It certainly does. And I don't just mean with what's swirling in the world around us today, but even so much the more in our regular daily lives. We find ourselves dealing with difficulties quite often. Today, we find ourselves dealing with a common difficulty among us all. But it left them with questions. It left them overwhelmed. It left them without understanding of what was going on in their life and why this might be. We've all been to that place. We're presently in that place, or we will soon be in that place. We need comfort in the midst of a difficult time. And that's what Mary and Martha needed, right? They needed comfort in the midst of their pain. They needed strength. They needed purpose. They needed help. They needed help. And we see in verse number 17, then when Jesus came. Such a fantastic phrase that begins this portion of the exchange. Then Jesus came. And after Jesus came to them, they were not the same. We can all agree. After Jesus came to them, they were no longer in grief, no longer in pain, no longer in turmoil. They had comfort. They had help. Then when Jesus came. What a blessing that is to consider and to think about. They needed comfort. And we do too today. We need comfort. We need strength. We need help. We need Jesus to come, just as Mary and Martha needed him as well. Look over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. I'd like to begin reading here in verse number 3. We'll find at the beginning of the second letter to the Corinthians, Paul brings them to focus on who God is. This is going to help us to see how Mary and Martha were able to receive comfort, how they were able to receive strength and help, how they were able to receive what they needed, and how we are able to as well today. Notice here, beginning in verse number 3, Paul says to the Corinthians, the Holy Spirit says to us today, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Take in what verse number 3 says unto us. He directs the Corinthians, he directs our attention this morning, not to the circumstances around us. We often use the example of Peter walking on the water to Christ. And as long as he focused on Christ, we know that he was fine. As he looked at the swirling winds around him, he began to sink. And a similar thought is here. But Paul approaches it here from a more direct place, not telling a story, but instead relating to them exactly what we have. He says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice here, he says that he is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Those are two blessed phrases. And I ask you this morning, how often do we think about God in these terms? How often do we think about God as the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort? And yet that's exactly what he is to us today. The God of all comfort. We stand in need of that as the uncertainties swirl around us, as the restrictions lay upon us, as the difficulties of life press in, and all of those things that are going on in our lives are only made even more complicated. We need comfort. And by comfort, I don't just simply mean someone to say, it'll be okay. We need a deep, abiding assurance. We need a strengthening to be able to take the next step and the next step and the next step thereafter to continue. We need the ability to see the hope that lieth ahead of us and not just be overwhelmed by our present difficulties like Mary and Martha were. We find today from this passage of Scripture the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. The need for comfort arises out of the tribulations in our lives, just like with Mary and with Martha. Notice in verse number 4, we find that the God of all comfort comforteth in all our tribulation. Now notice the word all in verse 3 and the word all in verse 4. They connect, don't they? He is the God of all comfort. And you could see us as the opposite. We are the people of all tribulation, right? I mean, we have that in our lives day by day by day. No matter what it is, we all find that we have in common tribulations of life. And he says here that the God of all comfort comforted us in all of our tribulation. They go hand in hand, and we're so thankful that they do. Without the God of all comfort, we would not have nor find relief from tribulation, from trial, or from circumstances that are overwhelming to us. Without the God of all comfort, Mary and Martha would have had no hope in finding the relief they needed from the burden they had. And we see that he comforts us in all of our grief, pain, and darkness. He gives us what we need, doesn't leave us alone in any of these times. We can rest assured that even in, and especially in, our times of turmoil today, that comfort comes from God. And you know what? He doesn't just give it to us a little bit at a time, but he rains it upon us as we focus upon him. The rest of verse number 4 shows us our responsibilities to comfort others, to share our experiences, share what ways that God has moved upon our life and bring to us comfort. That works two ways. One, it works to comfort ourselves with the comfort that we've received before. We have all been through difficulties of sorts in the past. Let us use and draw upon those experiences to gain comfort today. And again, that comfort is a consolation. That comfort is an assurance of future hope and blessing from God. That we have a bright future and a bright hope before us. Let us draw upon those past experiences. Because you were there when you thought that the sun wouldn't shine again, and yet it did. Draw from that today. Comfort yourself first. Help yourself, strengthen yourself. But then he says that we should comfort and strengthen others with that as well. And we can. We can be a source of strength to others in this life today through those things that we have experienced too. Paul was a great example of this. Points out in verse number 5 and 6 here that he went through the things he went through. He suffered persecution and tribulation and difficulty because then he could be comforted. And through that comfort, he could be an example to others to show them how good and blessed he was and comforted. Therefore, they would have the same blessings and comfort from God. We notice here in verse number 6, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For ye would not, brethren, have you be ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, and so much that we despaired even of life. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Now verse number 7 points out the fact that we are partakers with Christ of suffering and tribulation. So then also we are to be and will be partakers of the blessings of comfort and consolation too in Christ. Mary and Martha were getting ready to experience that. When Jesus came, that phrase, that moment, that time marked a difference in their life. And we'll get back to why in just a moment. Verse number 9 points out to us that we are to trust in God and not in ourselves. Such an important thing. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. We should not look to us. We should not try to think that we have all of the answers, that we have all of the remedies, that we have all of the directions. We should not think that we are sufficient of ourselves today. But as Paul says in verse 9, that we should trust in God, which raiseth the dead. Now we know John chapter 11, don't we? And we know that Christ raises Lazarus from the dead. So immediately that points us back to John 11, doesn't it? Here, Paul says, don't trust in yourself in times of trouble and turmoil and difficulty when you need comfort. Don't trust in who you are or your wisdom and education and all of that. But trust in God. He'll use all of your experiences, no doubt, to be a help. But don't trust in yourself. Trust in God. In God alone, he is the one that can and will deliver us. He is the one that can bring to pass anything that pleases him, as he is able to raise the dead. Now notice in verse number 10, he says, who, that is this God, our God, who raises the dead, who we are to trust in. In verse number 10, he says, who delivered us from so great a death. Delivered us from so great a death. He's talking here about our salvation. No, oh, what a blessing it is to know today that we are delivered from the second death. That is, we are delivered from eternal separation from God. Our sins, we deserve that because of our sins. We deserve to be cast into hell. We deserve to never know the blessed, positive, gracious presence of God again in our lives. We deserve to be in that place. But yet Christ has delivered us from so great a death. What a blessing that is today. I hope that causes your heart to sing praises to his name. Maybe even say amen in the comfort of your own home today, that God will bring to our hearts that praise and that joy. He has delivered us. Remember that today. Oh, no matter how much worse times may get in the days and weeks that lie ahead, or how long we're forced to part by this time, yet understand and rely upon the fact that we know that we've been delivered from such a great death by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He has came to us and he has delivered. And notice in verse number 10, it's not just past tense. It says, and doth, or continueth, to deliver. He doth deliver. He doth deliver. Right now, in our present circumstances, he is delivering. If you were joined us for our Wednesday evening thoughts, we got into that about how that God, based upon his very knowledge of who we are, where we are, and what's happening in our world, is working in our lives and bringing to pass the things that we stand in need of, and indeed has prepared us for this very moment based on his own knowledge. And so he doth deliver us. That means he is in the process right now of daily delivering us from one day to the next. Because as we know, he has promised to keep us until the end. And so we can rest assured that he yet doth or is working to deliver us. And then notice in verse number 10, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Now this deliverance is yet future. This deliverance may seem like it's a long way off, into the distant future, a time that is hard for us to comprehend. And let's be honest, when we are living in the moment of overwhelm, upset, and difficulty, it is hard for us at times to gain a whole lot of reassurance or comfort from something that is going to happen yet far into the future, or so it would seem. Now, really, it could be today, it could be tomorrow that we find ourselves with the Lord. And so it's probably not as far into the future as we all would think. But yet it feels that way, doesn't it? It feels that way when we think of the future and we think of that it could still be years before the Lord comes. It could still be a while before that happens. We go through these days that we are in now, and it may be weeks more, a month more before we can get back to what we considered normal beforehand, if that's something we should do. And so we can find it hard to gain comfort from that. And if you can understand what I'm saying, I'm not saying you don't believe that the Lord is coming for us. I'm not saying you don't believe that you have eternal life in heaven. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is that in the present moment of turmoil, grief, pain, storm, tribulation, you have a hard time gaining comfort from that fact, because it's you're disconnected from it to a degree. It's in the future, right? But you're not alone. Go back to John chapter 11, and I want you to see that Martha was exactly the same way. She was exactly the same way, because in the moment she was in, all she could think about was the present. All she could think about was the loss of her brother and how it made her feel. It almost seems like maybe she has some resentment or anger here that her brother wasn't spared. And so she was having a difficult time. And that's all she could focus on. It's all she could think about. And I want you to notice here that Jesus comes to Martha. In verse number 19, we see the Jews coming. Then in verse number 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. You see here in verse 21 and 22 that her thoughts are very much in the very present moment that she was in. We find that she was in the very present moment, that her heart and her mind was overwhelmed by grief and pain, and that's all she could consider was right here and now. Now, I'm not knocking Martha. We find it hard to do so either, to focus on anything else. We find it hard to consider anything else, don't we? But notice as we go down through this passage of Scripture, verse number 23, Jesus Christ speaks to her and says to her, thy brother shall rise again. He offers her some hope and some truth. He gives her the ability here to focus on something positive, something reassuring, and something blessed. And that was the fact that in time to come, Lazarus' body would come up out of the grave. He would be reunited with his soul. He would have a glorified body then and live in eternity forever, just as she would, and Mary, her sister, and they would all be reunited in the glories of heaven and get to experience eternal life together during that time. And so he points her to that. He says, look here, here's a blessing. Here's the truth. Here's the comfort of Scripture. Okay, just as we read there in 2 Corinthians 3:10, me telling you today that, you know, cheer up, he doth deliver, and there's coming a day when we're going to be with him, and this will all be over. Sometimes that is hard to connect with, isn't it? Well, notice here in verse number 24, Martha has that trouble too. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. You see here that Martha is so overwhelmed and focused on the present that she completely dismisses what she knows. She knows that Lazarus will be resurrected from the grave. She knows that she will see him again. She knows that he has eternal life. She knows that this separation is but for a brief moment and they will have eternity to worship Christ together. She knows that. But at that moment, it didn't mean a whole lot to her. At that moment, it wasn't helping her to the greatest degree. Have you ever been there? Sure we have. Some are there today with our present circumstances. Or maybe if it's not the circumstances we're all sharing in common today, whatever's going on in your life at the moment, you're having a hard time thinking about the blessings and being comforted and reassured about the future and the hope that is there, because you're so overwhelmed and thinking about what's happening now in your life. That was Martha. She knew truth. She understood it. And notice here in verse number 25 what Jesus does for her. Jesus said unto her, now before we can get a blessing from and unpack and see the depth of Scripture that is here in verse 25, understand that in the moment, Christ spoke it to her first, and then to the rest of us, of course, by inspiration and preservation. But to her, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. What he does for Martha is say, Martha, focus on me right now. I am that resurrection. I am that life. Look to me, focus on me, right here, right now. I am with you. I am here. I am the resurrection and the life. And yes, your brother is dead and you're feeling badly about it, and that's all understandable. He was even moved to tears later in verse number 35, as we well know. Nothing wrong with that. Grief is a natural part of life. Being overwhelmed is a natural part of our fleshly reaction to this world. What we've got to do, though, is get our eyes off of the things that are overwhelming us and focus ourselves on Christ, who is right here, right now with us, just as he was with Martha. And he is saying to us, hey, I am the resurrection. I am right here. Focus on me. Focus on me. And receive a blessing. This should be a source of strength and comfort to us today. But even as Martha responded in verse 24, there was a depressing tone in her voice. So do we often respond to each other. You know, when sometimes we'll say, yeah, but the Lord's coming back, you know, and you're like, I know, but I'm still sad. I'm still overwhelmed. I still need something now. What is that something? That something is Christ. That something is Christ. At the moment, that provided little comfort for her until Christ said, take your eyes off of it. Get your eyes off of the 4 days. Get your eyes off of what's overwhelming you and trying you and giving you difficulty. Get your eyes off of all of those things and on to me. I'm right here, Martha, right here in front of you. As long as this is the case, the things that we read about in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, that he will yet do for us, will provide little comfort. If we only focus on our current condition, upon our 4 days, our time of turmoil, what do? If we're focusing on that, we obscure the view of the promises and blessings that lie yet in the future, or that deliverance that he has promised us is still to come. It's obscured. It's out of view. It's something we can't see. It seems a long way off. I'll give you this example. You go out into the night sky and you look up into the heavens. If it's a clear night, we see little dots basically on a canvas of sky. They're beautiful, pretty awesome to see, but you know what? They're a long way off, right? It's hard for us to even pick out what they are. Sometimes we can see the formations of different ones and kind of get a little bit, but it's hard for us to see. And those future blessings or those future things that God has promised us are to come, that we are in his hand, that we will be delivered, that he is coming for us, that we will live with him forever, that we have the perfect environment of heaven to look forward to, and on those promises can go. They seem like those distant stars of heaven. We look up at them in the night sky and we're just kind of mystified. It's hard for us to connect with them at times. It's hard for us to see them. Maybe the lights from our own house, our own city, block out some of what we can see, causing it to be difficult for us. We're limited by our own vision and perception of things. And that's how Martha was, as she was looking unto the future, that her brother would rise again. It was just like a distant star. Yeah, that star's nice, but I'm living right here, right now. Can't really see what it is, make out the details of it. That's how Martha felt. Christ tells her to focus on him, and here's what he does. Christ reaches out into the future, into the blessings and the promises of the future, and he brings them out of the future and delivers them right into Martha's hands. You know how he does that? He does that by magnifying himself in her sight, getting her to focus on him. But what happens if we go out into the same backyard on the same night, with the same sky, the same lighting conditions, but this time we take out a telescope. And we're able to set that telescope up and we're able to adjust it and we're able to look through that lens. Focus on that lens, right? Our position hasn't changed. We're still here. We're still in the same place. But what's happened? We're focusing on something different, aren't we? We're focusing on that focal point. And that focal point then brings everything that is out there and draws it in close to us, doesn't it? It brings it closer. It makes it real. That's exactly what Christ does for us concerning the blessings of promises, the hopes of the future. Using Him as the focal point, like that telescope that brings the stars closer, we look at Christ and it draws into us the hope of heaven. And it seems more tangible. It seems more real. It draws into us the fact that God has promised us deliverance from this life and entrance into heaven through the shed blood of Christ. He has promised that He will yet deliver us. Give us the ability to persevere. All of that means very little if we're looking at it without the focal point of Christ. But looking at it through Christ gathers all of that blessing and it draws it right into us to see. What has changed? Have we moved? No, we're standing in the same place. We're exposed to the same conditions. We're feeling pretty much the same thing until those things become real and are drawn in. And then you know what? All of a sudden, it makes a difference to us that Christ is the resurrection life. And it makes a difference to Martha. Verse 26, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" He asks of Martha. She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." What a blessing it is to hear and to see Martha able to say this to Christ afterwards. She wasn't any longer talking about the 4 days, was she? She wasn't any longer, dwelling in that difficulty. She was focusing and looking at Christ. And then, those blessings didn't seem all that far off. I pray that's the case for us today. That in the midst of turmoil and difficulty and overwhelmment and the like, and who knows what else we might feel or face in the days to come, use Christ as the focal point. Be close to Him. Look upon the things that are yet future through Him as a telescope. Magnify Christ. I don't have the Psalms written down here, but there's a couple Psalms that talk about magnifying the name of the Lord. Magnifying means one of two things. You either are taking something that's really small and making it bigger to be able to see, or you are taking something that's far away, giving yourself the ability to see that. And that's how we're thinking about the word magnify here this morning. He pulls the blessings of the future, of eternity, into the very present moment, like that telescope looking at a distant star. And He blesses us in a tremendous way through them if we will but focus on Him during this time. Only Christ can reach into the blessings of the future and to eternity and bring them to you now to comfort your heart and provide strength and blessing in these times of turmoil. Focus on Christ. He's right here among us this morning. He's present. He's active. He's working to bring us comfort and blessing. But it's up to us to focus upon Him. It's up to us to focus upon Him in the days of our lives. Think about that. As He came to Martha, Martha thought, "You're late. And why didn't you come the other day? I don't understand." You know, we might think, why doesn't the Lord act? Why doesn't the Lord work? Why doesn't He deliver? Why would all of these things still be? I don't know. But I know we have Christ in this present moment, right here with us to focus on and to bring the glories and the hopes of the future to us today, that we might live in that reality, realizing that every morning when we wake up, every night when we go to bed, we have the promise that the God of all comforts, the Father of mercies, is with us, is a blessing to know that we've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that He is actively working every day to bring those things to us that seem afar off. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. He is directing, He is leading, and He is guiding through these things. We pray that God will bless these words as we've thought about them this morning. So much more in John chapter 11 that is applicable and a blessing to us today. And we didn't even read Jesus exclaim unto Lazarus, "Come forth." And then Of course, that future blessing wasn't so future then. It was a reality to her. But she felt it even before he came out of the grave, I believe, because she began to focus on Christ. What a blessing that is to think about. And we pray that it'll be a blessing to your heart here this morning and that you'll join us as we end our service this morning with a verse of song. Brother Josh, if you'll come and lead us in a verse of song, we'll conclude services after two verses.
We'll sing the first and last verse of "Are You Washed in the Blood," page 350. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His graces? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Amen. We're thankful that you joined us this morning. So thankful the Lord is blessed with this ability to gather this way and just pray that He'll be with us as we close our service this morning. Look forward to Wednesday evening service at 7:00 as we did this last Wednesday, as the Lord will bless us and permit. We experienced some internet connectivity issues last night as it was storming. So we pray that it'll continue to do well during the times we need to meet, and Lord will bless and watch over each one until that time. And just pray that the Lord will keep each one safe and healthy. If anybody needs anything, please give me a call, even if it's just to talk during this difficult time, or someone has a need that can be helped with. We pray that the Lord will bless us and watch over us until we can meet together again. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Lord, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, for this hour, and Your blessings. Father, what an overwhelming joy it is to hear from Your word and to be washed over with it today. But how we pray that You would help us to focus upon Christ during this time, and just help us, Father, to feel the comforts of the future and the blessings thereof, and know that they're ours and that they're real, and the sun will shine again. We pray that You would just bless and be with us during this time. We pray that You'd forgive us of our sins, You'd watch over and be with each one in their respective lives and situations. And Father, even though we may be separated from one another, and not being able to gather either on service days or, Father, any other time for that matter, really, we just pray that You would keep each one safe and help them to know that they're not alone and lonely. We pray that You would bless and draw us together during this time as only You can. We pray that we glorify and bless You through these things. And, Father, just pray that You would forgive us of our sins. Bless and watch over us this afternoon, Father, as we go about the affairs of our day and seek rest and still seek You during our time during this day, and pray that You'd watch over us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.